Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mulana, to you and the listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Jazallahu anna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima wa aluhu. Rabbi shrali sadri wa yusirri umri wa lulukkaram min lisani yafqahu qawli. Through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us an opportunity to present our program Bilad al-Muslimin, the land of the Muslims, this wonderful Sunday morning. Allah ta'ala make it easy for all of us. We trust that you and the listeners, Mawlana, are also in good health on this wonderful beginning of spring season. Alhamdulillah, I think through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today I want to read an article which I have come across by Hassan al-Nabi. And it's titled, The Rebellion of My Daughter in Besieged Gaza. And this is a wonderful story and just shows the resilience of the people of Gaza and Palestine, and that Allah Ta'ala has given them the fortitude and the serenity to go forth with what they are going through. We cannot imagine or fathom the conditions that they are going through and the continuous bombing of the areas where they had taken refuge. Hassan al-Nabi starts with this article that a few days ago, my 30-year-old daughter Yasmin, who has special needs and she's disabled, walked up to me in our little place at the school shelter. Her steps were gentle but determined, and I could see her eyes glittering with joy. I listened intently as she was struggling to speak. Dad, I ate chocolate, she said triumphantly. My mind started to race, trying to work out what I had heard. Where did Yasmin get chocolate? For many years, Yasmin has lived in a world that has its own rhythm, its own language of affection and wonder. Unfortunately, when she was just 4 months old, a severe fever left her with a developmental disability. At the age of 7, she suffered chronic bronchitis and underwent lung surgery in Egypt, which further affected her health and development. We tried to provide a comfortable life for Yasmin as much as we could. We equipped her room with a computer, a tablet, coloring books, and toys of all sorts. Building blocks, teddies, balloons, and even a swing suspended from the ceiling. We also consulted specialists who prescribed Yasmin special medication. We organized various indoor and outdoor activities for her. Hide and seek was a favorite game, which gave her thrills of excitement. Fortunately, for years, we were considerably able to manage Yasmin's condition. However, in October 2023, an Israeli warplane attacked our beautiful house, turning it into a pile of rubble. Our belongings and resources, including Yasmin's kingdom, that is a room, disappeared altogether. Since then, we have been forcibly displaced multiple times, taking refuge in school turned shelters. Caring for Yasmin at the shelter has been an exhausting and draining experience. She needs help dressing, navigating the toilet queues, walking through the chaotic courtyard over the rubble. We have struggled to get her even a few toys and coloring pencils, and the medication has been very hard to find. Yasmin is very good looking and very sociable. Interestingly, people don't have much difficulty getting used to how her tongue dances differently with words. Sometimes she misbehaves, which causes annoyance, but most people show empathy towards her. Yasmin is also very kind. She often shares her food with her friends, and on different occasions, She insists on preparing gifts for them. During Eid al-Adha last year, we decorated a tray of candies, each with a note reading, "Eid is happier with Yasmin." She distributed the gifts with pride, lighting up the gloomy atmosphere of the shelter. Unfortunately, now the situation has only gotten worse. Israel has tightened its merciless siege on the Gaza Strip, impeding the delivery of basic food supplies, fuel and medication, and medical and sanitation aid. The markets have seen no trace of so many things for months. No vegetable, no fruit, no meat, no fish, no chicken, no eggs, no milk, no sugar, no chocolate. The lack of nourishment has been a serious problem for all people in Gaza. Everyone I know has grown much thinner, with pale skin and an emaciated body. My wife and I have suffered from spells of dizziness. Yasmin has been especially vulnerable. She has lost a lot of weight and her health has deteriorated. In July, nearly 12,000 Palestinian children under the age of 5 were officially diagnosed as malnourished. On October 27, the UN-backed Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, that is the IPC, reported that Gaza City is officially experiencing a man-made famine and that an immediate at-scale response is needed. The report marked the first time famine was declared in the Middle East. According to the IPC, more than 500,000 people, that is half a billion in the Gaza Strip, roughly a quarter of the population, are either close to or has already reached catastrophic levels of famine. Unless the situation on the ground changes quickly, that number is expected to rise to more than 640,000 by the end of September, while those in emergency level food insecurity will likely to rise to 1.14 million. In addition to the casualties of the ongoing war, more than 62,000 killed and 140,000 injured, more than 300 Palestinians have already died as a result of the forced starvation, half of them children. At this critical time, Yasmin surprisingly stood before me, carrying the lightness of a sick child. With a glowing face, she declared she had eaten chocolate. Startled, I turned to her. "You had chocolate, Yasmin? Where? Who gave it to you?" Sensing my confusion, she smiled and her face lit up with more delight. She gently shook her head and exclaimed, no, Dad, I didn't eat chocolate." She said, "I dreamt chocolate." I jumped up and gave Yasmin a big hug, bursting into laughter that was louder and longer than I had had in months. My laughter, however, was laced with extreme sorrow and fatigue. Amid the horrors of war and widespread famine, Yasmin had a dream of something sweet, and the dream was sweet enough to make her highly delighted. Yasmin, a young woman with special needs, was not aware of the political meaning of her dream. She didn't know that a dream where she stated she tasted something unreachable was an act of rebellion against Israel's atrocities and defiant hope to live freely in peace and dignity. These are the views expressed by the father Hassan al-Nabi regarding Yasmin, and this is the resilience of the people of Gaza. Allah Ta'ala give them desire. And then, Maulana, I have an article here where the Muslim Pakistani scholars said jihad on Israel or preparatory for Pakistani government, for Muslim governments. Prominent Pakistani scholars, including the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, issue a fatwa calling on for Muslim governments to launch a military jihad against Israel. Alhamdulillah, amidst all the gloom and the destitution and the desperation, there is a stirring in the Ummah, alhamdulillah, that something is coming forth. And alhamdulillah, through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that something is stirring the Muslim Ummah now throughout the world, where scholars, generals, military personnel are taking, and the ordinary man in the street are taking decisions that are going to go forth to liberate Palestine. A conference of ulama in Pakistan has issued a fatwa calling on all Muslim countries to use their armies to launch a jihad to protect the Muslims of Gaza. If you can watch over 50,000 of your brothers and sisters being killed before your eyes, and you cannot move to action to help them, then what use are your weapons? What use are your armies? Said Mufti Taqi Usmani, Hafizullah, addressing thousands of guests and delegates assembled before him at the Jinnah Convention Center in Islamabad. Speaker after speaker at the conference, which included some of the most famous and respected ulama of Pakistan, called on all Muslim governments in the world to use their armies to launch a jihad against the illegitimate state of Israel. The fatwa was backed by Mufti Taqi Usmani, Maulana Munibur Rahman, and former government minister Maulana Fazlur Rahman. The fatwa came at the culmination of a major event called the National Palestine Conference, held at the Jinnah Convention Center in Islamabad and attended by thousands of influential Muslim scholars, retired members of the judiciary, politicians, and social activists. The fatwa read out on live television has sent shockwaves through Pakistan's ruling elite, as it was issued by Islamic scholars belonging not to some fringe jihadi organization, but by highly respected scholars belonging to the establishment, as well as all the main schools of thought within Pakistan society. Mufti Maulana Taqi Usmani blasted Israel for breaking the ceasefire deal again and slaughtering over 50,000 unarmed and defenseless civilians in Gaza. He expressed deep embarrassment at standing in front of the massive Muslim gathering, exactly 1 year on since a similar conference at the same venue a year ago, and calling upon the Muslim countries in the world to intervene and bring the war on Gaza to an end. Today we should not be gathered here in Islamabad. Today we should all have been gathered on the plains of Gaza with our Palestinian brothers and sisters, said Mufti Usmani, to a somber gathering. He expressed his dismay at the fact that from Indonesia to Morocco, Muslims have been watching the carnage in Gaza in complete silence. We quote him, I am ashamed to say that until now our actions have been limited to trying to provide some financial help to the people of Gaza. That until today we have not told our governments explicitly that jihad upon them is now obligatory. We will not be able to answer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now with simply our verbal condemnations. Jihad against Israel is now obligatory upon every Muslim government in the world. The speech was frequently meant with chants of takbir from the crowd. Addressing the political and military leadership of Pakistan, Mufti Usmani said, the entire nation is waiting for you to fulfill your obligation. Whilst the views of Mufti Taqi Usmani on Palestine and Jihad are well known, the fatwa was also backed by the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, Maulana Munibur Rahman, who said that what has happened to you, O Muslims, that you do not wage jihad in the way of Allah. Many scholars at the Islamabad conference criticized the Pakistani government for not declaring war on Israel. This comes just days after the Secretary General of the International Union of Muslim Scholars, Ali Al-Qaradawi, called on all Muslim countries to intervene immediately, militarily, economically, and politically, to stop this genocide. His statement, also backed by 14 other prominent Muslim scholars, urged all Muslim countries to reduce their peace treaties with Israel and encourage Muslims in the United States to pressure President Donald Trump to fulfill his election promises to stop the aggression and establish peace. The International Union of Muslim Scholars was founded by Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qaradawi Rahmatullah Ali and is headquartered in Qatar, but comprises leading scholars from around the globe. The announcement by prominent religious leaders have come amid growing calls for jihad by Muslims across the Ummah. Huge pro-Palestinian protests have gone viral online, showing demonstrators chanting, "The people demand jihad in Algeria, Syria, Yemen, and Pakistan." However, there has been some opposition to the calls for jihad. Egypt's Grand Mufti Nasir Ayad criticized the IOM's fatwa as irresponsible. Such actions may endanger the security of societies and the stability of Muslim states. Supporting the Palestinian people in their legitimate rights is a religious, humanitarian, and moral duty. However, this support must be provided in a way that truly serves the interests of the Palestinian people and not to advance specific agendas or reckless ventures that could lead to further destruction, displacement, and disaster for the Palestinian people themselves. These are the apologies of the Egyptian government. More than 50,600 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza in Israel's military onslaught since October 2023. Most of them women and children. The International Criminal Court issued arrest warrants last November for Netanyahu and his former defense minister, Gallant, for war crimes and crimes against humanity in Gaza. Alhamdulillah. And then, Maulana, another very interesting article. In fact, I know that I'm moving away from our Bilad al-Muslimin, where we were discussing Bosnia and Herzegovina. We're supposed to discuss the partition of Bosnia in 1994. But these articles are so relevant to the issue that is taking place now at the moment within the Muslim Ummah that we cannot overlook them and not inform the Ummah about the situation. The Muslims are awakening, alhamdulillah. Totally unexpected is the fatwa issued by the Committee of Ulama of Saudi Arabia, which is the highest religious body in the country. The fatwa militates against the kufr innovations which the Murtad ruler of Saudi Arabia has introduced to bootleg his American masters and elders. The fatwa rejects the unity of religions most emphatically and without any ambiguity whatsoever. Rubbish plots of the Western interfaces, such as the Abraham Accord, which have been rejected, and denounced by the Saudi ulama. The Permanent Committee for Fatwa in Saudi Arabia settled the controversy regarding the unity of religions, or what is called the Abrahamic House, and the following is the text of the fatwa as it came to its importance. Fatwa of the Permanent Committee for Fatwa in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia regarding the unity of religions, or what is called the Abrahamic Accords. Praise be to Allah alone, and praise and peace be upon the one after whom there is no prophet, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon his family and companions and those who follow them in righteousness until the day of judgment. The Permanent Committee for Scholarly Research and Ifta has reviewed the questions that have been submitted to it and the opinions and articles published in the media regarding the call for the unity of religions, the religion of Islam, the religion of Judaism, and the religion of Christianity, and what has branched out from that of the call to build a mosque, a church, a temple in one area, in the premises of universities, airports, and public squares, and the call to print the Holy Quran, the Torah, and the Bible in one cover, and other effects of this call, and the conferences, seminars, and associations held for it in the East and the West. After contemplation and study, the committee decides the following, and this is the fatwa. First, among the fundamentals of belief in Islam, known from the religion by necessity and agreed upon by Muslims, there is no true religion on the face of the earth other than the religion of Islam. And that is, it is the final religion and abrogates all religions, sects, and laws that came before it. There is no religion on the face of the earth that worships Allah except Islam. Allah Almighty said, indeed, the religion in the sight of Allah is Islam. Second, among the fundamentals of belief in Islam, that the book of Almighty Allah, the Holy Quran, is the last of Allah's books to be revealed and a covenant with the Lord of the worlds, and that it abrogates every book that was revealed before them, the Torah, the Psalms, the Gospels, and others, and is dominant over them. Third, it is necessary to believe that the Torah and the Gospel were abrogated by the Holy Quran, and they were subject to distortion and alteration by addition and subtraction, as stated in the verses of the Holy Quran. Fourth, among the fundamentals of belief in Islam, that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Khatam al-Nabi, and that is the seal of prophets and messengers. Fifth, one of the fundamentals of Islam is that it is necessary to believe that all Jews, Christians, and others who do not enter Islam are infidels, and to call them infidels against whom proof has been established, and that they are enemies of Allah, His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the believers, and they are from the people of hell. Six, in the light of these fundamentals of belief and legal facts, the call for the unity of religions and rapprochement between them and the fusion in one mold is a malicious and cunning call, the purpose of which is to mix truth with falsehood, destroy Islam, and undermine its pillars, and drag its people into comprehensive apostasy. Seventh, one of the effects of the sinful call is the elimination of the differences between Islam and disbelief, truth and falsehood, good and evil, and the breaking of the barrier of alienation between Muslims and infidels, so that there is no loyalty or disavowal No jihad or fighting to raise the word of Allah on Allah's earth. Eighth, if the call for unity of religion is issued by a Muslim, it is considered clear apostasy from the religion of Islam because it clashes with the principles of belief as it accepts disbelief in God and invalidates the truth of the Quran and its abrogation of all laws and religions that came before it. Based on that, it is an idea that is rejected by Sharia and is absolutely forbidden by all evidence of legislation in Islam, from the Quran, Sunnah, and consensus. Ninth, based on the above, it is not permissible for a Muslim who believes in Allah as Lord, in Islam as a religion, and in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the prophet and messenger to call for the sinful idea, encourage it and spread it among Muslims, let alone respond to it, participate in its conferences and seminars and belong to its gatherings. It is not permissible for a Muslim to print the Torah and the Bible separately. So how about the Holy Quran in one cover? Whoever does so or calls for it is in great error, because that involves combining the truth that is the Holy Quran with the distorted and abrogated truth that is the Torah and the Bible. It is also not permissible for a Muslim to respond to the call to build a mosque, church, or a temple in one complex, because that includes recognizing a religion that worships God other than the religion of Islam and denying its supremacy over all religions, and a material call that there are three religions for the people of the earth to adhere to any of them, and that they are on an equal footing, and that Islam does not abrogate the religions that came before it, and that there is no doubt that acknowledging that and believing in it or being satisfied with it is disbelief and misguidance, because it is a clear violation of the Holy Quran, the both pure sunnah and the consensus of the Muslim. Indeed, this fatwa of Haq emanating from the Sunni ulama is astoundingly wonderful and exhilarating. They have made it abundantly and vigorously clear that interfaith, unity of religions, and the likes are malicious plotting, and those who propagate this kufar are infidels. Thus, the fatwa brings within the scope of a proclamation of the MBS murtad. Mulana, this is an amazing fatwa that has been released by the Saudi ulama, inshallah. This awakening, this stirring of the Muslim Ummah will bring about the revival and the emergence of Islam as the truly only religion that is accepted by Islam. Mulana, we have come to the end of our program. We trust that our listeners and yourself have a wonderful week ahead. We are in the month of Rabiul Awal, celebrating not only the birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but also his demise in this month. And if we can bring the seerah and life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into our existence, this will only bring us closer to the recognition of Allah and gain the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To you and the listeners once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakumullah khair al jaza fi darain. May Allah azza wa jalla reward you, shower his choices blessings upon you in this world and in the akhirah for your valuable time and the valuable information that you impart to our listeners every week.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.